The president takes on inflation. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. In his State of the Union address last night, President Biden took on perhaps the biggest economic challenge facing Americans, inflation. He said fighting rising prices is his top priority.
And with all the bright spots in our economy, record job growth, higher wages, too many families are struggling to keep up with their bills. Inflation is robbing them of gains they thought otherwise they would be able to feel. I get it. That's why my top priority is getting prices under control.
The president said he would tackle inflation by lowering consumers' costs. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins us now to explain. Morning, Nancy.
Good morning, Sabri.
So this involves the supply chain and manufacturing. How does President Biden hope to use that economic lever to fight inflation?
Well, the president says we'd see lower prices if more things were made in the U.S., so we wouldn't have to be so reliant on foreign supply chains.
That means make more cars and semiconductors in America, more infrastructure and innovation in America.
The president specifically mentioned new factories Intel is building in Ohio to make computer chips. When are those going to be online?
Not until 2025. And that's the issue with this idea, Sabri. Manufacturing more things in the U.S. could bring big benefits to the U.S. economy in the long run, but it won't help with inflation right away. I talked to Willie Shih about this. He's a Harvard Business School professor.
I'm skeptical that expanding some of these manufacturing investments will have much of a near-term impact because it'll take 2 years to get some of those factories up and running.
President Biden also talked about lowering the price of prescription drugs to fight inflation, but that would require legislation from Congress.
All right. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
President Biden last night also condemned Russia's ongoing invasion of Ukraine. 660,000 refugees have now fled that country, according to the UN. Biden threatened to go after the wealth of Russia's oligarchs and leaders, specifically calling out their yachts and their private jets, calling them ill-gotten gains. Meanwhile, Ukraine has amassed donations from around the world and $35 million worth in the form of cryptocurrency in just a week, according to the research firm Elliptic. Marketplace's Savannah Marr has more on that.
The Ukrainian government's appeal for direct donations is unusual, says economist Ishwar Prasad with the Brookings Institution.
It's certainly not common for a government to crowdfund.
What isn't surprising, Prasad says, is that Kyiv is turning to cryptocurrencies.
Ukraine has been at the forefront of the development of many aspects of cryptocurrencies.
He says Ukraine conducts a lot of trade using crypto and recently passed a law legalizing and regulating its use within the country.
So I suppose it's a natural extension that at a time like this, they would use any possible means to raise financing, including through cryptocurrencies.
Prasad says there are advantages to raising money this way. Unlike traditional aid from other nations or NGOs, deposits into the country's crypto wallets can be spent quickly and without restrictions. That can be appealing to donors, too, says Mirav Zair, a blockchain expert at Rutgers Business School.
I think from a donor perspective, it's instant. You know, if you really want to help people right away, then you can do it.
And there's another advantage for those who might fear retaliation from, say, the Russian government.
If the donor wants to stay anonymous, then that is a perfect way to do that.
Zair says crypto crowdfunding could play a major role in the future of foreign aid, something William Luther at Florida Atlantic University says we should keep an eye on, because the same lack of restrictions that allows donations to be spent quickly can also lead to ethical concerns.
You're relinquishing ownership to those funds, and the recipient can use them however they please. That means that the recipient might use those funds in ways that you don't actually approve of.
He says if Ukraine can solicit anonymous donations to fund its military operations with no strings attached,
then so too can Russia.
Or any other government. I'm Savannah Marr for Marketplace.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Checking numbers this morning, the FTSE in London is up 0.9%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up in the 8 to 0.9%, with the Dow future up 248 points. 10-year Treasury yield is at 1.755%. And meanwhile, the economic ripple effects of Russia's invasion keep spreading. The Black Sea region is a major source of some of the world's edible plant oil. It accounts for more than three-quarters of the world's sunflower oil exports. But ports in Ukraine have been closed since the Russian invasion began, limiting supply. As Marketplace's Andy Euler reports, that has the price of substitutes like palm oil skyrocketing.
People often use sunflower oil or palm oil for deep frying and sautéing food. It's used a lot in Eastern Europe, Asia, and Africa. But Chad Hart, an agricultural economist at Iowa State University, says it's fairly easy to substitute one edible oil for another.
The idea is you can use any of them. You're just looking for different characteristics.
Now, here in the United States, we consume more soybean oil than any other vegetable oil. Hart says a disruption in any part of the vegetable oil market means that American farmers are able to charge more for their soybeans, but farming costs are up for things like diesel to run tractors and...
They're also seeing higher cost for especially any sort of fertilizers that they use, chemicals that they use.
And even if you don't pick up a bottle of vegetable oil at the grocery store often, it's in a lot of other products. So scarcity of supply matters. Joe Glauber is a senior research fellow at the International Food Policy Research Institute.
Whatever happens in the Ukraine happens in the world.
Because, he says, commodity markets are global. In Austin, I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.